is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, Only Believe. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is the Blackwood Brothers with Rise Again, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon. This week, we will begin a new series, Only Believe. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Elvis Presley with Only Believe, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
Cause I'll rise again. There ain't no power. When I don't pray for something, I usually don't get it. I was telling you about going in to a New Age occult bookstore to do some research, and I didn't pray. I hadn't prayed, you know, for several hours, and I just pulled my car up in the parking lot and went right in there. And I'm telling you, my friends, I had no sooner got in there and began to read the material in that huge, huge, it was the largest New Age occult bookstore in the world. And I began to read, I think it was a book or it might have been a magazine. I can't remember now, but I'll tell you one thing. I felt like I was being oppressed. I mean, I felt a demon trying to enter my body, but he didn't make it. Because I prayed. I knew I'd made a mistake. See, I make so many mistakes when I don't pray. And when somebody asks me, please pray for me, I will pray for them. Why? I know how important it is. I know it will change things. Now, the world is made the way it is. It's a material thing. I mean, I've learned all about quantum physics and all this. I realize the world is a material substance. But it also, the world is made up of things that you cannot see that are invisible. We don't even know about these things. You look out your window and you see a tree. Maybe it's 100 feet away from you. But did you know that there are many things, probably millions of items of things, all kinds of life and substances that you can't even see between you and the tree? And things are going to happen. And it's not that your mind makes it happen. That's magic. That's what the magicians and the devils do. They tell you, think, and it'll arrive to you. Believe, and it'll come to you. What are you believing in? Well, I believe I'll have $1 million, so I'm going to have $1 million. Okay. It might happen, might not. I have found, though, friends, when people pray for the wrong things, they get the wrong things. Had a young lady one time told me, if I'm going to pray because I want this boy to be my husband. I'm just sure he's going to be my husband. Now, the boy was a pretty bad boy. He was a drug user, been in and out of reform schools. This was a young Christian girl, and she just knew the boy was for her. But something in my heart told me that he wasn't for her. And I said to her, well, I don't believe God is going to let you have this boy. Because you're a Christian. Oh, yes, he must, because I want him. Oh, really? There's such things, you know, as unanswered prayers. Unanswered. God knows what's good for you. He may not give you the things that'll harm you. Now, some doctors will. They read the brochure from the pharmaceutical company. They'll say, this will heal this woman or this man of this affliction, this sickness. And they give you a certain pill or certain compound, but it doesn't work, you get worse. But God doesn't do that. You ask of him, and he knows your needs. In fact, he already knows before you've ever asked. And the Bible says God inhabits the prayers of the saints. Now, I want to repeat that. God inhabits the prayers of the saints. Now, let me tell you how this works. This is an amazing thing, an amazing thing. Did you know that when you pray, something entirely supernatural occurs? Your prayer becomes something unreal to you. It's an invisible a power. God is in that prayer that you're praying. He inhabits it. Now, do you know how much power that gives you, my friends? No matter what you've got against you, if you're in battle and you've got 100 soldiers and they're bearing down on you and you pray to God, that prayer, God enters the prayer. He is within the prayer. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how the Holy Spirit works, too. You can't see it, but it's working. It accomplishes miracles. He inhabits the prayers of the saints. And then they're not battling just you, those 100 other warriors or soldiers. They're battling your prayer and God within it. Now, I can't communicate well to you. I'm sorry. I don't think anybody could, though. You know, I used to teach at the University of Texas, and there they were. I think they were like 2,000 professors there. I don't believe any of them would understand what I'm talking about. But I'm confident that many of you listening to me will understand exactly what I'm talking about. When Jesus heard Jairus say, "Just put your hands on my daughter and she will live." Do you realize how much power that prayer gave to Jairus? And she was healed. And then, of course, there's the centurion. You know the story of the Roman centurion. And the Jews all thought they were better than the Romans, and they were better than the Samaritans, and they were better than everybody. Their superior race. But this centurion went unto Jesus, and he said, "Please, I'm a commander of men, and I've got a problem," he said. "My servant is sick." The man cared for his servant. He loved his servant. Now, you know, if I'm an employer, I love my employees. I usually do, at least. And I want to see them do well. I want to see them succeed. I'd like it if they did better in life than I do. And my children are the same way. I'd love for my children to have a better life than I had. I work so that my child can get ahead of me. You ever thought about that, friends? That's the way a person who loves someone, that will happen. And I've had, you know, when I was a commanding officer in the Air Force, I had young men who worked for me, and I love these men. I'm talking about the love of a human being for each other. I'm not talking about sexual love. I'm talking just love, period. And when they did a good job, I was proud of them. And I would maybe nominate them for some award, Airman of the Month or something. I would give them a good performance report so the promotion board would see this. I believe Jesus is just like that. He's watching you all the time. He wants to see you advance. He wants to see you do better. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you happy. He wanted Jairus' daughter to be healed. He wanted this woman with this issue of blood, this problem with blood, this horrible disease, he wanted her to be made whole. The instant they prayed to him, it was going to be done. I've told you about the man in church that everybody in the church was praying. They had an altar call. They don't even have altar calls in most churches nowadays, but they had an altar call there. And this man from the back, suddenly a voice came out. It rang out and he said, "Lord, Lord, save me, a sinner." Some people would have been embarrassed. "Wow, don't say that. You're telling everybody you're a sinner. You're the back of the church. Everybody's going to look around and see who you are." But this man was, he was like Jairus who fell at Jesus' feet. He was like this woman who touched Jesus. He said, "Lord, help me. Help me." There's a story in the Bible of a man like that that said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Do you think Jesus did that? Do you think Jesus saved that man? Think about it. He said, "I believe. Help thou my unbelief." He wanted to believe even more. He was saying, "Give me more faith. Give me more to believe." Now, I know these faith preachers, these word of faith preachers, say you got to have faith. If you have faith, you don't even need Jesus. You can command it yourself. Really? Not true. But here this man said, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." I believe Jesus did. I think that man, by the time everything was over, he had more belief than anybody else you can imagine. He was full of belief. He was full of faith. Why? He asked for it. What do you need today? Have you asked for it? God wants you to ask for his help. He knows of your needs already, but he would like you to ask. I mean, he's your father, and he would like you to ask for it. Now, you can be strong and stubborn and say, "I could do things for myself. I don't need you, God. I don't need you, my father. I can make it. I got a college degree. I can do good. I can get this job. I can compete. I can go see the doctors. I can get well. Okay. Okay. Jesus just might let you do it on your own. And maybe you'll make it. And maybe you won't. Because I'm telling you, friends, this world has more things against you than you have for yourself. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, the devil's in the world. The devil owns this world. He's got everything against you. And you're like a lamb ready for slaughter. I'm going to get Sandra. I'm going to get Jerry. I'm going to get Michelle. I'm going to get Wanda. I'm going to get these people. I've got them. But suddenly, they confound him because they pray. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, help me. And God inhabits their prayers. How can the devil defeat that? God is in, somehow living in the prayers. You say, well, God can't live in prayers. Really? Oh, yes, he can. There's nothing that's material to God. God could walk on the water. How did he stay up? And, you know, the disciples started to walk on the water, and boy, he believed because he had just seen the Lord do it. Well, I've got faith, and he started doing it. Then he lost his faith, went on, started doubting. Went right down, didn't he? That's a good way to get drowned. Don't step out of the water, expect to walk, unless you have faith. Only believe. You know, if somebody has a problem and they don't believe God can do it, I say, you know, I'm going to give them some instruction. I used to be a professor for many years. Let me just get you a piece of paper and some pencil and just write 500 times, only believe. Write it down. Only believe, only believe, only believe. No, don't do that. You could. Maybe that would help you to believe a little bit better. The best way, though, is to read the Bible. Oh, there are many stories like the ones I've given you here. How about when Paul and some other disciples were thrown in a jail? And there they were in jail. They were going to see the judges the next day. They were in jail, but then an earthquake came. Who sent that earthquake? And the jail was torn down. But they just sat there, praying and thanking God for an earthquake, I suppose. And the jailer came in and said, boy, I just knew they were going to escape and I was going to get blamed for them getting out. And they were going to get me. I'm going to lose my neck because Paul would be freed from the earthquake. And you know, the normal prisoner, what would he have done? Of course, the earthquake comes, he's gone. He's escaped. Man, he's moving out. But Paul just sat there. And a jailer came in. And let me tell you what he asked. Then he called for a light, it says here in Acts chapter 17. Let me read verse 28. I love this one. He supposed that the prisoners had fled. Verse 28 says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why did he say that? He could have said, well, thank you for staying. Now, I'm going to take you to see the judge later. You'll meet justice. If it had been hard-hearted. Or he could have said, well, I'm going to tell the judge some good things about you, that you didn't try to escape when the earthquake had happened. Instead, he knew these men were saved. What does that mean? They were born again, and he wanted to be like them. He knew something supernatural had happened. Something great had happened here. And he said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What jailer has said that in your hometown? You know of any prison that the jailer asked the prisoner, what can I do to be saved? I suspect there are a few, maybe. And they said, that is Paul and the other disciples, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spoke unto him, or spake unto him, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. His stripes. They'd been beaten. They'd been beaten. They weren't just thrown in a cell. They'd been beaten. He washed their stripes. He cared for them. The jailer cared for the prisoners. He took them out of the jailhouse and he cared for them. And he and his whole family were saved. Would you like to see your family saved? Would you like to see your wife or your husband? Well, what can you do? You can be saved. And Jesus said that I'll save your whole house. My goodness, what a promise that is. That goes on to say that the next day the magistrates let Paul go. And they didn't even have a trial. They just let him go. Now, there's reasons why, and you can read that there in Acts. But here's what I want to tell you, my friends. You must believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is who he said he was. Believe that he can do whatever he said he would do. And it will be done for you. It'll be done for you. You'll be shocked. You won't be calling Tex Morris and saying, God hates me. You won't believe that at all. You'll say, God loves me. And I love him. And my whole life has changed. Because I listened to Jesus Christ when he said in his word, only believe. My friends, it's been great being with you today as we went through the word of God and saw the power of Jesus, the might of the Lord, and the faith of his people.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.